Noah, which is actually article page 30 starts, but we're going to just talk a little bit, just a couple of seconds, about a little bit about the Nephilim, which is the end of page, on page 26. So it says Pasuk number 1, page 26, which is chapter 6, Pasuk number 1. Yeah, it says, Vayikech lo adam vareva pri adama. It came to pass when man became to increase in the ground, vanos yodolahem, and they had a lot of dollars. Then, Vayiru vneyo Elohim. According to Rashi, you have to translate vneyo Elohim. And according to other Mephoshim, you have to say vneyo Elohim. Rashi translates Elohim, means the sons of the rulers, the son of the mighty. That means the people that ruled, judges, or the judges, like it says in Pasuk, Elohim lo sekalel. Pasuk says judges is sometimes called Elohim. So according to them, the judges themselves, they were corrupt. So if the higher classes were corrupt, so obviously the lower classes were even worse. So Bnei Elohim saw the Bnei Sodom, the daughters of men, Kitovus Heina, they took women from wherever they want, they committed adultery, immoralities, incest, all kinds of immoralities they performed. According to the Midrash, Yaakov Shimoni brings interesting Midrash here. According to Midrash, Bnei Elohim is actually angels. Angels are called Bnei Elohim.
You're saying Bnei Elohim?
Meaning if the name is holy, if I say the angels, then the Bnei Elohim. They're like children of God. If I say they are rulers, then it's just Elohim. That's a strong man. There's Elohim, usually the word Kel is strong, and Elohim is strong man. They are rulers. That's the basic idea. So according to Midrash, they're actually Bnei Elohim. They're actually children of angels. And those the angels. The Midrash brings an interesting story. Yaakov Shemadi brings down that there were two angels. Actually, Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, Targum Yerushalmi on the Chumash itself also brings down that there were two angels that came to criticize man, that man was corrupt. Man is very corrupt. And all of a sudden, they said that had we been there, look how man is corrupt. Hashem says, no, you know why they're corrupt? Because they have a Yetzer Hara. So the angel says that if we have been here, we would have been even, we will be able to glorify your name better than the people, the men. So God says, okay, let's try. So he sent out two angels, the name of Shem Chazai and Azael, those are two angels. And those are two angels that corrupted and became more corrupt than anybody else. The Medrash continues to say that Shem Chazai did tshuva and is hanging between heaven and earth, whatever it means. Azael didn't do tshuva, he's still trying to corrupt us with colored clothing of women. That's what he says. And that's why we bring a sacrifice, Lazazel, to atone for the sin of Azael. That's the Medrash brings down on the connection. It's not for now, but that's basically the Medrash brings down. So this man came and he corrupted men because God put a Yetzer Hara in them, and they were able to corrupt men more than anybody else. So God since then says that I know Liadu Rich Bodom, number 3, Hashem says I'm not going to let my spirit be man, Vishigamu Basa, because he is also flesh, right? So the idea is because since we are at that time were almost immortal, we live for a long time, and the earth, they explain, since the earth gave also from its ground, from the foot of the ground, gave, you planted one time and it grew for 4 years, 50 years, you didn't have to work the hard earth. So Hashem decides to destroy the earth and the man. The Midrash brings down, how do I know Moshe Rabbeinu is alluded to in the Torah? It's very interesting, it's a Talmud actually. It says, B'shagam hu basar, that the word B'shagam, the numerical value of the word B'shagam is Moshe.
Where is that?
B'shagam hu basar, because his flesh, base is 2, shin is 300, gimel is 3, because his flesh. therefore live 120 years. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the first one actually recorded that lived 120 years. So it's alluded to here. So that's a question. I mean, it's not written on the place as Moshe Rabbeinu. Why you have to have allusion to Moshe Rabbeinu is written here by this parsha, by the one God wants to destroy the floods. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is written plenty in other parshas. Why do you think it's necessary to be alluded here? So the Zohar actually says that Zohar brings down that Noach was incarnated in two people, in Yosef HaTzadik and in Moshe Rabbeinu. So according to this, it's very good that Moshe Rabbeinu has to be alluded in Parshas Noach before the flood comes, because that's what he's reincarnated. The idea is that we'll see soon that there are a couple different reasons why the decree came upon them, either because of immorality, that seems to be the standard opinion now, and the other is because they stole, because of Gezel. We'll explain a little bit better that. But so Joseph, a tzaddik, was able, even though Noah is called Ish Tzaddik, but since he's around all this immorality, obviously he gets influenced the same way the Gemara brings, the Torah says that when the Jews went to attack Midian, the generals, the people in the army, wanted to bring an offering. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, why do we have to bring an offering? You didn't do anything wrong. So he says, it's true, I didn't do anything wrong. We didn't actually do, but we had hirur, we had thoughts. By seeing all these immoral women, so we got, by Midian at that time, we didn't do anything wrong, but from thoughts we didn't escape. We still had bad thoughts. So probably Noah was able to control himself and not participate in the morality, but nonetheless it's all around him. You can't help but get influenced. So Istakona is by Yosef HaTzadik, where Yosef was able to withstand the highest test of immorality, where he had the Potiphar's wife, and he was able to control himself, according to most interpretations. Yeah? And also the other thing that Noah did wrong, which we'll see soon, Hashem says, I'm going to destroy the world. He didn't say, destroy me too, like Moshe Rabbeinu did. He was willing to take a stand and just become by himself, become a loner basically, and not use his influence to try to save the rest of the people. When the same thing happened to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people, I'm going to let you leave. He says, no, either you forgive them or wipe me out together with them. So that's atonement that Noah had through Moshe. So that's what they're trying to say. Where is it alluded to the whole story of Moshe Rabbeinu inside this parsha of the Mabul? And if you take a look at Moshe Rabbeinu's life, was totally influenced by water. The same way you see that he crosses the Red Sea and he hits the rock and all the stuff. And all his life was he's taken away from the river. If you take a look, he goes in a teva too. He goes in a little ark. In other words, it's not the same ark as Noah, but it's the same ark that put him in the waters to escape. And he's totally influenced by the waters. So that's why, according to Zohar, it's the perfect atonement for him. So next pasuk, according to what we say, is the fallen angels. So Hanafilim is the fallen ones. Normally, Nafal is language is fallen. Here, the most people translate as being a tribe. Fallen ones, yeah, Nephilim, they were giants, the same race terrified Moses' spy, and they were given to fall because anybody who sees them falls. Yeah, that's the interpretation they give. But the Medrash brings down that actually they were the angels that came down from heaven. They are called Nephilim. That's what the Medrash is, right on this pasuk. Yeah, and then the sons of Mighty, and so Hashem saw that everybody is evil, and all the person has in mind is only evil. So Hashem decided to destroy everything. Yeah? They explained that what the animals, so most interpretations say that the animals also became corrupt. Our interpretations say that only the reason, the idea is that man was created, so he comes in with a meal ready to eat. And if the guests are kicked out, then we don't need the meal anymore. So if God is going to destroy the earth and the people, then the animals have no purpose anymore. So therefore, you have to restart everything again to give you, for you to know, because a person may have the idea that he is just like an animal. The same way animal does with instinct and is not punished. Same thing, man. He could do anything he wants, not punished. But by man, by God destroying the animals, when man is destroyed, then man realizes the whole creation was done for man. So that was one of the ideas that Hashem wanted to give an example to let everybody know that the whole creation is made for mankind, not that we are nimshol kabahemos, that we are just like animals, that we could do anything we want. So that's the idea that even though, according to most interpretations, they actually didn't sin so badly, because they do it by instinct, they don't have free choice, they don't have it, etc. A lot of interpretations say they actually were corrupted, because they get influenced, whoever people see, they get influenced. If they saw a lot of things, they get influenced by that too. God of moralities, they got influenced. And right afterwards, you have Ela Toilot Zonichish Noach. Noach, last pasuk is important. So I'm going to destroy everybody. But Noach Motso Chaim Bein Hashem. Noach found grace in the eyes of God. And Noach and Chaim is the same letters, by the way, right?
Say that again?
Noach and Chaim is the same letters. Nun Ches and Nun Ches, just opposite. Noach found grace in the eyes of Hashem. Grace normally is something that you get for free. Yeah? Grace is something you get for free. If you're actually deserving, then you don't need grace. You deserve to be saved, because whatever you are, such a righteous person, then you don't deserve to be, you don't need to have grace for that. Normally, chain is something that if to find grace means you truly don't deserve it, but since you have found grace, I'm going to do it to you. If you deserve it, you don't need grace. If you somebody paying you something, hey, I'm paying you. Give me the gift. You don't need grace. You have your own personal deeds to come forth and save you. But Noach required to have grace. In other words, they found grace. That's why we have a machoikas in the first Rashi of Ela Toldos Noach. We have a machoikas Ela Toldos Noach. This is the generations of Noach. That's where we start the parsha. Noach is tzaddik. Noach was a righteous man, perfect in his generation. Because it says perfect in his generation, the machlokes, what really it means. Some say, which is, by the way, the machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, even though Rashi doesn't mention who it is, it's a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, Shlokesh, and Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Ches, 108. So, Rabbi Yochanan says that, yes, in his generation, where everybody is blind, then he is a righteous man. In other words, everybody is evil, he's righteous. But in a generation where everybody would be righteous, he wouldn't be nothing. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion.
That's why he needed grace.
So that's why, according to him, he needed grace. Okay. Yeah? And according to the Shlokish, no. If in a generation of everybody evil, where you are influenced by it, you are still able to overcome and become righteous, so for sure, if you're going to be in a generation of good doers, of everybody righteous, that for sure you'll be even more righteous, because you'll grow higher than that. The truth is that you could see the same characteristics in different people in different places. You know, a lot of people, when there is no Jews, they become more religious. And a lot of times when they go to a yeshiva, they become less. They figure everybody is doing it, I don't have to do it anymore. But when they know that he's the only one doing it, then he gets more involved. There's two ways to look at it. So the idea they explained that if they would be righteous, there's a little problem, because if you take a look at the time scale of Noah, so actually Rashi writes down that if you'd be in generation of Avram, Rashi says, according to his generation, he would be a tzaddik. But if you'd be in generation of Avram, he wouldn't be considered like anything. Rashi actually uses this word that brings a message that uses the word, if you'd be in generation of Abraham, you wouldn't be considered to be anything. So if you take a look on the Basco, as we have a time scale, and he brings down the genealogy, the time scale, chronology, page 53, is a chronology. Noah brings down, lived from the year 1056 to 2006. 1056 to 2006. Yeah? See that?
Mm-hmm.
Noah and Abraham, all the way three from the bottom, is from 1948 to 2123.
Mm.
So they had an overlap They actually had an overlap. Noah wasn't the generation of Abraham. So Rabbi Yochanan has a good argument. Wait a minute. You see that Noah wasn't the generation of Abraham, and yet you don't see, he's not even mentioned anymore. He's gone. So if he would be such a tzaddik, and he would grow more if he would be among tzaddikim, how come he's not mentioned?
Good point.
So that's what he says. That's what the Torah says. But Noah is of his generation. And I saw, according to this, it's very nice, according to this, if you take a look, that Noah was 2006, and Abraham was born in 1948, which is a very good year because that's the year of Israel was created, right? Abraham was born in 1948. So 1948 to 2006, that's 58 years, right? So they explain the flow of art like this. Ele todos Noach. This is generation of Noach. You should know, Noach, 58. Noach, the microwave of Noach, is 58. 58 was a tzaddik in his generation, which is Abraham. For 58 years of life of Noach, there was a tzaddik in his generation, which is exactly the overlap that Abraham was during Noach's time.
This is the very last.
Mm-hmm.
Because what does that relate to why he was saved?
He was saved because he found grace. He was better than most. He was the best man in that generation.
Right.
He was the best man in that generation. According to the Gnai, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that not so good, he was the best man in that generation. But he wouldn't be anything considered. That's what Torah is telling you. In his generation, he was the best man. Mm-hmm. But if you'd be in a different generation, you wouldn't be the best man.
Right.
That's the point. So then, according to this, we know there's overlap of 58 years.
Right.
So you could make this Noach, exactly Noach, is what his overlap is. I mean, there's just about. It's got nothing to do, you're right. It's got nothing to do, but it's just telling you that tzaddik, which Abraham is considered tzaddik, Tommy,
was in his generation
for Noach years.
Yeah.
For Noach years. Yeah? And there's nothing else.
Uh-huh.
There's also, could say, some machloikas, there is going to depend on machloikas also,
uh-huh.
I saw,
58 years is the overlap between the time that Noah
lived
till he died and Abraham was born.
Right.
So you're saying during those years
there was a tzaddik. There was Noah years in Noah's life that there was a tzaddik in the generation.
And it was Abraham.
It was Abraham. There was Noah there was the generations of Noah had Noah years a tzaddik in his generation, which means Abraham. That's it. Okay, there's another machloikas here, there's a couple machloikas. First machloikas is Tzor Tas Lateva, a window you should make to the ark. The machloikas, if it was a window, or was a stone for the, was a light, right? It was a stone that lit up, a phosphorescent stone, thank you, that lit up. So they explain that it has also to do with the machloikas between Gnai and Shvach. Those who say that he didn't deserve, so if somebody doesn't deserve, he can't see. The same thing by Sdom. We see that Hashem didn't allow Lot to look back because he didn't deserve to see the destruction of Sdom. He was only there for merit because he was the best, whatever, theirs or merit of Abraham. So the same thing here, he wouldn't allow him to see. So therefore it says, can't be a window because a window is only made to see. So must be, it's a light. The person who says a window says, no, he was such a tzaddik that he could see the destruction. That he deserves to see the destruction of the people. And the same thing with Machloikas, when Avraham Avinu recognized Hashem. So Machloikas also, I remember there's a Brecha Rish Lakish, the same thing would be that when Avraham Avinu recognized Hashem. So the one said that Avraham recognized Hashem when he was 3 years old. Yeah? Because it says, Eker Vashashom Avraham Bekoili, that says on Pashas Tov, it says, because Avraham listened to my voice, and the numerical value of Eker, the Gemara brings down, is 172. And Abraham lived 175. So if he recognized God for 172, that means he was 3 years old when he recognized there was a God. So according to this, there's a question, how come he's not in the generation of Noah? So that, therefore, it's kind of hard. Why isn't he there? So that's what you have to say, Lignai. But other interpretation says that he recognized God when he was 48. Abraham recognized God when he was 48, because when he was 48, at that time was a dispersion. You're going to see the end of the parsha, the Tower of Babel, and God disperses everybody for whatever reason. Maybe we'll forget time or we'll get to it. So the dispersion is the year 1996 during that of creation. So that's 48 years after born. And at that time, Abraham is not mentioned, because as everybody was together. So the question is, why isn't Abraham mentioned if he was around there? Where was he? If he recognized God when he was three, so where was he? So some people say he recognized God when he was three, but didn't become proactive until later. He was just by himself, and all of a sudden, in other words, it takes time for a person to recognize himself before he starts to make kiruv, before he starts to make try to show other people that there is a God. But some people say that, no, that he didn't recognize God until 48, because he's not mentioned there. So therefore, Noah could be a tzaddik totally, because Abraham at that time was a nobody. Abraham only became later. So therefore, Noah is tzaddik, means a real tzaddik. So even though he was a generation of Abraham, but Abraham wasn't righteous, because Abraham didn't know there was a God until later, until at least 48. So therefore, according to the opinion, so in other words, you have to say that everything fits exactly the same. The Midrash brings an interesting story, how come Hashem decided to destroy the world through water. The Midrash says that, brings an example, there was a king once that decided to do good for his people. So he took a palace and filled them up with blind people and gave a servant to each of these blind person. And every time the king would pass, even they would hear the hoofs of the king, the blind people would know that the chariot of the king is coming. They would bow and praise Hashem and do whatever he wants. So the king goes and thinks, wait a minute, if these blind people are serving me, even though they don't see what I'm doing and they can't see how great the place is, and they are praising me so much more would regular people, normal people, praise me. So he took another palace, took the same palace, filled up, kicked out all the blind people and filled them up with regular people. Only probably the regular people, when they see that a normal person has ambitions, and when he sees that somebody else is exactly like him, he doesn't find very comfortable. I deserve better. So everybody had exactly the same, and each one couldn't get more, because that's exactly the rule was. So they started, as soon as every time the king came, they started cursing him. What are you doing? So I covered the king. The king says, you know what, kick those people out and put the blind people back. So they give the example. What's the example? The example is the earth, the water. When the earth was created, there was water all over the whole earth. Hashem says that the water go out, that the earth is like the blind person that doesn't have any free will, doesn't have just praise Hashem. So the earth, the waters all of a sudden, Hashem told the waters to recede, and he's going to put man that's going to praise him even better. So all of a sudden man messes up, starts doing things opposite, not only that, except cursing Hashem, start doing problems with Hashem. So all of a sudden Hashem says, you know what, let the man go out and the water comes back. So that's why he punished the world, as the Midrash brings down, that's why he specifically punished the world through waters. The Kliyoka actually brings down different interpretations why it was through waters. He says that the Shem that God created the world is every time that something immorality happens, waters come to flood to destroy the world. And he brings down the same thing as the Chiramalois, that when David started to dig up the Shittim, the bottom waters where to find the river that flows underneath the Beis Hamikdash. So the water started to flood the world until he sank 15 Shiramalois. There's 15 Shiramalois, which is equivalent to 15 steps are between the man and to the Ezra's Nashim. So 15 Shiramalois was able to stop the world. And it brings down the Shem Yud K. That's why Ish has got the Yud, the famous Sheva Brochas Drasha. That Ish has the Aleph Yud Shin, has the Yud in it, and the Isha has the Hay. So together becomes Yud K. Yeah? So it brings down, the Kliyoka brings out this parasha, that's why it's 15 Shiramalis. So automatically, that's the Shem Yud K, that's 15. And that causes the waters to be calm, and that fortifies the world. If you take a look, a child is born in water.
What's
your name? Shiramalos is the psalms of ascension. Mm-hmm. There's 15 of them. There was 15 steps that he sung exactly when it was time to go out, to stop. If you take a look, when a baby is born, he's also born, he's enveloped in water, and starts with water, starts with semen, which is water. So everything is involved in water. That's the idea. If you keep purity, then the water is okay. If not, the waters are coming to destroy you. That's the idea. And if the same thing happened by Chizkiyahu, Chizkiyahu was about to die, was sick, then the prophet Elisha came to him and says, you know, you're going to die. You're going to die, you're not going to live. So the Talmud says, you're going to die, and you're not going to live in the world to come. So yes, my kulahai, why? What's going on? Why did I do so wrong? So he says, you didn't want to have children. So he says, I didn't know why you didn't want to have children. I didn't want to have children because I know that I'm going to have bad children, and instead we're going to have Menashe, and it's going to be bad. So he says, so the prophet tells him, you know, why you're trying to circumvent the stuff, but by you not having children, automatically you can't see the future. Your future is wrong. It's like back to the future, you know, you're trying to see what's going to happen before, but by you not having children, automatically the future won't happen, so that can happen. So he says, so the prophet told him, you do what you were supposed to do, and Hashem will take care of the rest. So he asked to give his daughter in marriage. Elisha's already married. Eventually he does. And Menashe actually kills Elisha, kills the grandfather. But Hashem, after he did that, he prayed to the wall. He says, even though you promise, there's a sword in your neck, you still got to pray. And Hashem increased his years 15 years, which is the number of Yud-K. Because it's it pur vu, increase the number of Yud-K. And God says that this world, in the world to come, it be the name Yud-K. And we ask which one was created. This world, the one says this world was created by the Hey. Yeah, Behi Baram says Behi Baram. Ele told us all this is the generations of man. Behi Baram, when he was created, says Behi Baram. There is a small Hey, which means to separate Behi Baram. That's on that God created the world with the letter Hey. That's all the way here on page 10 on Pasuk Dalet says Behi Baram because it's a small Hey. So Talmud learns Behei Baram to tell him again the Hashem created the world with letter Hey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see this is a small Hey. Mm-hmm. So God created the world with Hey. So he brings down that's of the dimensions. He brings down that's of the dimensions of the Teva. They are divisible by 15. Mm-hmm. And he says that Gemara brings down also that when the Jews wanted to cross over the sea, that Ayam Rav Ayanois, the sea saw and ran away. What did he see? Aroino Shel Yosef saw. He saw the ark, the coffin of Joseph. So they ask, what's so special about Joseph? So he explains, since Joseph was very careful about the laws of morality, and the worst part is somebody who has morality, so that's why he saw, that's why it says, Ozi Bezimras Ka, Ve'el Yeshua. That this is the Shem Yud Kei, that has to do with the waters. That's what came down and eventually helped me to survive. So that's what he brings down. So here Asher writes down, the earth became corrupted in front of man. So Asher writes down two different interpretations. Asher says, what did he do? So Asher says,
in front of God.
And Philip Bain, Asher says that basically immorality. Asher says, Ketz Kol Boso. Asher says, Kol Mokom Shatu Moitze Znus, every time you find Znus, it comes a plague and destroys everybody.
The translation is full with robbery.
Because the next pasuk says, and God saw earth, behold, was corrupted. So Rashi writes down corrupt of people, immorality. That's what Rashi brings down. Yeah, that is immorality. And then kishchis kobos haoretz. There's a question that they ask. First of all, there's a question they ask, and I'm going to give you one side, then I'm going to say the other side maybe later. I'm going to give it the other way around. Is that Gemara writes down Baraso Yetzer Hara, that God created Yetzer Hara. God created Torah Tavlin, the Torah, the spice or antidote. Basically, create you Yetzer Hara. Hashem created the antidote, which is the Torah, to counteract. The Gemara brings out that Eve says that he could make everybody exempt from Gehenna because he's going to say that it's not our fault, it's God's fault that God put the Yetzer Hara into us. That's what Job, he claims also that he could exempt the whole world from Gehenna, which we accept. I mean, we definitely accept. So they explain, that's a question. So How can Hashem become upset at them for being corrupted? They had the Yetzer Hara, but they didn't have the spice, they didn't have Torah yet. So how can they, even though the Torah was allowed, there's a halacha who says, Ben Noach, that if a Ben Noach shlama Torah, chayav misa, that a Ben Noach that learned Torah is liable for death. So they couldn't even learn Torah. Right? So how can they expect to be punished? Because it's Torah, there wasn't Torah, and they couldn't learn Torah because they were Ben Noach. Ben Noach shlama Torah, it's chayav misa. So the Gemara brings down, how do I know? The Gemara brings two different interpretations. How do I know Ben Noach shlama Torah chayav misa? And both learn from the same pasuk. How do I know that somebody who is not Jewish Torah is liable for that? I'm just going to go over a little comment that there's an interesting Gemara, just a sidebar. There is interesting Gemara. The Gemara brings down that there was a Gemara in Shabbos of Lamed Aleph, I think, brings down that there was a ger that came to Hillel. A person that came to Hillel says, "Gairene," he came first to Shammai, and he says, "Convert me on the condition that I only want to learn Torah Shabbat, I don't want to learn Torah Shabbat Peh." Or, Gemara brings three stories, or "Convert me while I'm standing on foot," and the third opinion is, "Convert me, but I want to be a Kohen Gadol." Yeah? So they went to Shammai, Shammai kicked them out, they went to Hillel, Hillel converted them all, and the one who said Kohen Gadol, he read there all the things that who could go into Beis HaMikdash. Eventually he started learning Torah, and eventually he accepts the whole thing. The same thing, somebody wants just Torah Shebichsav, so Hillel taught him first Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and the next day he says Gimel, Dalet, hey, the Aleph was a Gimel. So he says, "Well, yesterday you told me Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, the Dalet was Aleph." So he says, "Well, how do you know that you trust me? So trust me for the rest too, the interpretation of the Torah. Even though Torah Shebichsav is one way, but there's a different interpretation of Torah Shebichsav, so if you trust me to say this is Aleph, trust me to say this is our interpretation." So, but the question they ask is, how was he able to even start learning? They obviously, the person wanted to be a Kohen Gadol, did a conversion for ulterior motives. And if the conversion to ulterior motives it's not a good conversion. Everybody agrees that if you convert for ulterior motive, it's not a good conversion. In other words, if you convert just because you want to become rich, or you want to become wealthy, that's not a conversion.
If you become frum,
you're already Jewish. That's okay, but you're not allowed to convert somebody if he has ulterior motive. You're not allowed to convert somebody for marriage. You're not allowed to convert somebody. Not so simple, but you're not allowed to convert somebody because he wants to get a job or something, for whatever reason. So here, the person. Another question: you're not allowed to convert somebody if he doesn't accept the Torah Shabbat Peh. So how can he convert him? So he says he's converted him, start learning with him. The question is, how can you learn? But the conversion is not good until he accepts Torah Shabbat Peh, and then he's Ben Noach, Shalom Torah. Right? Then it's considered Ben Noach is learning Torah, and it's Chayav Misa. He's not allowed to learn Torah because Chayav Misa. So there, Marsha brings down that if you're planning to convert, then you could learn Torah. Just that otherwise it brings down, then it's going to come out, anybody who's going to convert is eventually not going to know anything. So how is he going to be able to keep the mitzvahs? He's got to learn first. You got to teach him Torah to be able to get him ready to convert. So once he decides he's going to convert, he could learn Torah. That's what he writes down. But anyways, the idea is that Ben Noach is not allowed to learn Torah. So that's how you could teach. That's how you could teach Torah to people that are in process of conversion. You could teach Torah because otherwise, if they're going to convert, they're not going to know what they're doing. Not only that, we teach them nowadays because otherwise, what are they going to do? So the question is, how come we're punishing the people in that generation? There's a halacha who says, Ben Noach shlama Torah chayav misa, and they couldn't learn Torah, they didn't plan to convert, so they couldn't learn Torah, they didn't have the spice, the antidote for the Yetzer Hara, so they are exempt. So the Talmud brings down, how do I learn that Ben Noach is chayav misa? Because it says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, the Torah that Moses has commanded us, Moirasho, it's an inheritance, Kehilas Yaakov, for the congregation of Jacob. The Torah is an inheritance, a heritage for the Torah, or inheritance, whatever you want to call, for the people of Jacob. So it comes out that anybody who learns Torah is considered like he's stealing. that anybody that's not part of the congregation of Jacob, this is my inheritance. If you take it away, the Talmud brings down one interpretation, is considered like you're stealing. So if it's considered like you're stealing, then you're not allowed to do it, because Benoch is not allowed to steal. He's prohibited from stealing. So that's what explained. Here, Hashem wasn't going to destroy him. You're right. But all of a sudden, Hashem sees that they steal anything else. So if they steal anything else, how come they can't steal the antidote? Himal Oretz Chomos. The whole Torah is full of robbery. They're robbing anyways. So their excuse that they don't want to learn Torah because it's stealing falls away. They should learn Torah, and the Torah will be the antidote.
If they're the generation of Noah, they're responsible for the first 10 commandments, right?
For the 7 commandments, actually.
They are.
Yeah, 7 mitzvah benoach.
Not kill and not steal.
Right, so that's the, right, but the Torah was around already. The Torah wasn't given. The Torah was around already.
The Torah wasn't.
It was. The Torah wasn't given to the Jewish people, mm-hmm. but it was around, because Rashi writes down actually here, clearly, that Noah actually learned Torah. Rashi says that from all... Rashi says, Tohira, the whole clean animals. So Rashi brings down, Hasid Aliyos Tohira, the Israel, the animal that's going to be clean for Israel. Lomadnu Shulamat Noach Tohira. Rashi brings down clear that Noach learned Torah. So Noach found the antidote, even though technically he was stealing. He still found the antidote. He figured, you know, he might as well get the antidote from Eretz Yisrael, even though it's not technically correct. According to this, it's stealing. So they are stealing anyways. Just the right thing to steal, the antidote for their Yitzhar, that they didn't want to steal. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is the reason a person is not allowed to learn Torah is because Moirosho Kilas Yaakov, and the Talmud brings down Moirosho means the word Me'oiroso, that the Torah is our engagement. It's engaged to us. So that's also the same thing. If they would keep the laws of morality, then they would be exempt, they wouldn't learn Torah, God wouldn't punish them for sinning. But all of a sudden, they don't keep the laws of morality. Just this, you're afraid not to keep the law? So therefore, Hashem punished them because of both reasons. And so they bring down that both reasons had to Hashem punish them. The Zohar brings down that the Zohar goes in the opinion that Noah didn't deserve it. And the Zohar says that, every time that there is a decree in the world, doesn't matter if you're a tzaddik or a rasha, you have to be hidden from that decree. Because the question is, why did Hashem make that Noah should be a whole year in the table? Yeah, Hashem could have made one second that everybody dies and Noah survives. So therefore, according to interpretation, it says that Noah didn't deserve. That comes out very well, because Noah actually was guilty, and his guilt, according to most interpretations, even though he was a righteous person, the guilt was he didn't rebuke the people of his generation. That he should have rebuked the people, and we learned the Gemara in Shabbos brings down, I think, Daf Nun Dalet brings down that during the time of the temple, the Hashem destroyed the tzaddikim because he didn't rebuke the Rishoyim. So Noach, even though Noach was a tzaddik, he should have rebuked, and because he didn't rebuke, he didn't deserve to survive. But since he found grace, therefore he had to suffer a year in solitary confinement, doing hard labor. And the Zohar brings down that he had to be covered up in a box, because as the Mashchis comes out, the same idea at Pesach, that we had to put them the sign the door and not to be outside. God actually says no person should be outside, because once there is permission to do destruction, it doesn't distinguish between Tzaddik and Rasha. So therefore, by Pesach, nobody could leave the doorpost, the door of the house. That was like a field, or called an invisible shield, that it's supposed to hide you from the mazik. So that's the idea. So according to Zohar, that's the idea that he had to be a year in the teva. So he was there for a whole year. The marriage brings down the three animals, three people actually had a relationship. Most in the Teva, they were prohibited from having relationship in the Teva. They bring down three of them have a relationship in the Teva. And they were the Kelev, the dog. That's why a dog, when it has a relationship, it's locked up. It's being locked up. The Oirev, the raven.
Is that when he has relationship,
is locked up? Yeah, it can't separate. Everybody sees that he has relations.
Oh.
That's what the Medrash brings down. Medrash in this week's parsha. And the raven, and the Gemara brings down the raven Because of that, when they have relationship, they spit to each other. They don't actually have normal relationship. And Ham had relationship. And Ham turned. Ham is one of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Yafes. And therefore, Ham turned to be black. That's an example. That Ham, because of the relationship, he turned black. Yeah? So, why did Ham have relationship? There's an interesting comment. Why Ham had relationship. The comment is that we know that the Gemara brings down that Sichon and Noig were brothers. Sichon and Noig, when Moshe Rabbein eventually fights the two giants, Sichon and Noig, they're brothers. And the Gemara brings down they're actually children of Shem Chazai, of those angels. The Gemara brings down Sichon and Noig, they are children of Shem Chazai, of those angels that fallen down from heaven. They are children of those angels. That's why they were giants. They were giants. So the question is, how did they survive? Everybody was destroyed in the floods. How did they survive? So, Ach Noach, the Gemara brings down, Vayishar Ach Noach, that only, there's a pasuk here that says, Ach Noach. Ach Noach is begematria oik. The word Ach Noach, that only remained Noach. And pasuk number, page 36, pasuk number Chav Dalet, Vayishar Ach Noach, only Noach remained. So the word Ach Noach is begematria oik. That oik remained. Yeah? And the oik remained according to Midrash. He was holding on to the teva and Noach was feeding him. Yeah, that's what it says that the Yavoi Apolit, Asher brings down, the survivor came out, the one survivor. So there's two machloikas, one survivor. Survivor came to tell Abraham about that Lot got kidnapped. So Rashi brings down there, we have Apolit, the oik, Shinopolit, me Doramabo. That's oik that survived from the Mabo. So how did he survive? He was a giant, he hung up to the stuff. So the question is, if Sichon and oik were brothers, where was Sichon? Fine, oik survived. So there is a Dazekeni Balatois, the last Dazekeni Balatois, Pashas Chukas, brings this question. And he says that one of the children of Noach married a woman who was pregnant already with Sichon. Yeah? In other words, one of the Sichon's, Og's father, Sichon's father, married a woman, let her go, had a relationship with her. Then Ham, according to the most of the Midrash brings down,
she was on the
Teva. Ham was married to her, she was pregnant, and to cover up that she was pregnant, Ham had a relationship on the Teva.
And Sichon was born.
And Sichon was born on the table. So 8 people came in and 9 came out. It's a trivial pursuit question. How many people came out of the table? So you could have to answer that 8 people came in and 9 came out. That Sichon was born on the table. So it could be explained that that's the reason that he tried to have a relationship in the table to cover up the idea that she was pregnant from before. So that's what explained that they had a relationship because of that. Another interesting thing is Baisha Ach Noach. So Rashi brings down 2 interpretations. Ach, he became scratching. He was scratching. Ach Noach. Another interpretation Rashi brings down, a very interesting interpretation. Baisha Omrim Sheichar Mezones Lari, that he would delay food for the lion. Vekisho, and the lion hit him. Yeah?
Who is Noach?
Noach delayed food for the lion. And the lion gave him a staff and made him a balmum. Talmudic Noach goes down. He made a balmum so much that he couldn't bring the sacrifices. Shem, his oldest son, had to bring the sacrifices. So the question is, why does Shem give permission for the lion to hit him? What's so special? I mean, I'm sure that he was late, not only to the lion, if he was late, he was late to everybody else. Why specifically the lion had the right to hit him? So, I wanted to say, it's brought down on Parshas Kisetzer, that we have a famous Gemara, famous subject, the Yavoi Moavi Amoni Bekal Hashem, that a Moavite, an Ammonite, cannot come into a congregation of Hashem. Why? Because they didn't bring forth, they didn't greet you with food and water. And it uses the word kidmueschem, greet you or run and bring you first. So the question is, why should they bring you? Why should they greet you? Because since they come from Lot, and Lot only survived because of Abraham. So therefore they have to be grateful And they have to be grateful. And not only that, it's a big blemish that you can't even accept them in the congregation of Hashem. It's considered a very, very big crime. Their survival depends on us. So they should come and bring us food, and they didn't do it. So therefore, they are guilty. Hashem had to close down the ark. This Rashi brings down, but the Medrash brings down a little bit differently. Rashi brings down that Noach, that everybody said that we will wait. We don't worry. Noach was building the ark for 120 years. He says, don't worry, that we'll see the water start to come. We'll try to go in. So we all will break up the ark, so Noah will have to stay with us. So what happens? Noah went in, the water started coming, and they came to attack. So Hashem put lions all the way around, yeah, to protect Noah. And those lions actually perished. So the only two lions that was inside the Teva, there. But Hashem prayed a miracle that the lions came and protected the Teva. So comes out Noah owed his survival because of lions. So the Aloha said, if you say your survival depends on somebody, you have to go and greet with food. You have to makdim food. So Ichar Mezonos Lari, he came and delayed food for the lion. Therefore, Vekisho, the lion, went straight and gave him a nice snack. Nice push. So that's why he had permission, because he did it, he should have given earlier for the lion before he gives somebody else. Yeah, and we know the story of the raven. The raven wouldn't go out. Noah, after the waters came down, he sent the raven. The raven wouldn't go out. So Rashi writes down a very interesting. Why they wouldn't go out? Rashi says, "In Medrash Agada, shechoshdoi alishtoi." Yeah, I mean Rashi brings down.
Raven was
chashdoi. Yeah, Rashi brings down. Here I'm going to translate soon. The raven, the Rashi writes down the Medrash brings down that Yotzav Eshoiv, Rashi Pasuk Zayin, Oilech Makev Shahayu Choshdoi Abazugoi. The Gemara brings down that the raven thought that Noach is going to send him out because Noach wants to have a relationship with the other raven. Okay? But you have to understand that the world at that time was a very corrupt world. So we don't know really what it means to have a relationship, bestiality, all this stuff. We don't know exactly what it means. So they explain what's going on, why just the raven was afraid. So they explain that since the only reason Hashem had two people to come to the Teva to perpetuate the species. But the raven already had a relationship in the Teva. So he figured Noah doesn't need to put, and the Gemara brings down that if somebody has a relationship, cross breeds, it causes the other one to become sterile. So until then, before he had a relationship, you didn't have to worry about Noah having a relationship with other if the animal, because he couldn't have, because he needed to perpetuate the species. But since the raven already had relationships with it, so obviously he could have had already children. So therefore he was afraid that some people say that because you do something illegal in your mind, as far fetched as it is, it takes one to know one, basically, this idea. In other words, you always think that somebody else is doing the same thing.
Did the raven have a relationship with the raven? With Noah? No.
No, with the Mrs. Raven.
Mrs. Raven.
With Mrs. Raven.
So why couldn't he was allowed to have a relationship with Mrs. Raven?
Not in the Teva. Nobody yet could have a relationship with the Teva. Only three animals had a relationship with the Teva. The raven, the dog, and the chum.
Oh.
So that's why the raven was choshed. The Yonah wasn't choshed because the Yonah had no stuff. Also, the raven is a bearer of bad news. Because if you take a look at the raven, the Orev, if you take a look, is the language of Rav, of hunger. And the Gemara brings out that the raven actually doesn't even feed his own children. Because the children, when they are born, they are born white. So that's why Hashem, that Hashem has to feed them because the mother doesn't feed the child, abandons the child, because thinks it's not hers, because they are white. And they are the ones who brought the food for Eliyahu in the time of famine. And that's why the Orev is for the Rav. And they bring down, they bring down interesting connection to it, because it says, At Yaboishes Amayim, Baishlach Orev, he went At Yaboishes Amayim. So the word Yaboishes backwards is Tishbi. Eliyahu HaTishbi. So they bring the allusion that the word Pasuk here says, Pasuk number 7, he sent the Orev, and he was circling, and he was waiting at Yaboshet until the word becomes driest. Yaboshet means dryness of the waters.
Who gets that?
The Orev, the craven.
Oh.
The raven is the Orev. And the Orev is written for Avav, because it means Rav, like the letters Rav. And Eliyahu was fed during the hunger by the raven. And they explained that if Eliyahu wouldn't be fed by the ravens, he would be hungry, he would pray for it to be food. So therefore the raven is bearer of bad news. That's what they bring down. Now let's quickly give the idea of Noah's cursing is for the fourth son. Yeah, Noah cursed the fourth son. Okay, Noah came out of the ark, and the first thing he does, he plants. It's not the first thing, because they actually had four children. So the first thing he does, he plants a vineyard, and all of a sudden, Canaan, which was the fourth son of Ham, saw the nakedness of his father and told Ham. Yeah. Let's see, it's Pasuk. It's Pasuk number 20, page 42, Pasuk number 22. Vayesh v'yayin v'yishkor v'yishkor techaloi. And the Pasuk says, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. So it says, Ham, the father of Canaan. Why do you say the father of Canaan? Ham saw. Right? The Ham is the father of Canaan. Take a look at number 18.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the son of Noah came to the ark, Shem, Ham, and Ham is the father of Canaan. Right? So, all of a sudden, the two interpretations what he did. One interpretation is that he emasculated him or castrated him. Yeah? That the son castrated the father because he didn't want, so the father was drunk, anesthetized, basically. He didn't want to have more children. He didn't want the father to have more children because the world was going to be divided by three. So that he saw that his chance to make sure that he doesn't have any more children. Right? There's three children, so now we have to divide the world by three. So he decided that he's going to see that he doesn't have. That's one interpretation. And the other interpretation is he had a relationship with him. He had sodomy with him.
Well, on what? I don't get it.
Because he saw the nakedness. What does it mean he saw the nakedness?
Canaan,
saw the nakedness and told his brother. What does it mean saw the nakedness? What kind of, what big sin? So the father naked, is that such a big sin?
No, he spoke with
Shemara. What is spoke with? My father is naked?
It sounded like he made fun of
him, right? So that's what Rashi brings down, both opinions, which should bring down in Talmud. Yeah, that's what Rabbi Asko brings down too.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Asko brings down here, Noah caused him harm, gaze, and disrespect. That's the one. Make it a shame. Harm enjoyed the sight of his father's nakedness, and it doesn't say. Rashi actually brings down the both opinions, yeah. It was morally degraded. That's what brings down. So all of a sudden, Noah gets up and he curses Canaan, Eved Avodim Yelamoy. He curses Canaan.
Who was Noah's wife?
Noama. Mrs. Noama. Okay. We learned that from the last week's parasha. Says here that the sister of Tobal Kaim is Noama.
Uh-huh.
So Rashi brings down Noama. Rabbi Asko brings down also. Why is it called Noama? The history. Naama, her name is mentioned lovely. Mentioned because she was the wife of Noah. That's what Rashi brings down. It's not mentioned anywhere else. But it's mentioned in Parshas Bereishis that the sister to Elokim was Noama. So obviously Noama had the world that survived, even though we come from Sheth, from Seth. So the world that we have has a connection to Cain still, through the wife. Yeah?
She was in the table with him.
With Abraham. The three men, three wives,
right.
And afterwards one more child born there, according to the Dazakenim. So the question is, he cursed Canaan. And the Canaan was the fourth son. Take a look. They sit near the children of Ham. Take a look at the children of Ham. Uvnei Ham, Pasuk number, page 46. Pasuk number 6, 7. Very cute. Uvnei Ham, Kush, Mitzrayim, Put, Canaan. So Canaan was the fourth son. So Noah cursed that the fourth son should be a slave. That Canaan should be a slave to his brothers. Yeah? Should be a slave to his brothers. Why the fourth son? So some interpretation give them because Canaan is the one who told the father that Noah is naked. That's number one. So therefore he was cursed. And the other interpretation brings down is because since Noah, since the idea of Ham, according to the interpretation that he castrated him, was the idea that he shouldn't have a fourth child, so therefore his fourth child is going to be cursed. You didn't want me to have a young kid to take care of my needs, to take care of me in my old age, so therefore your fourth son is going to be cursed. That's the idea, that he cursed the fourth son. And Chazal Sofer brings an interesting interpretation. He brings down that since Noah, why did it all come about? He brings out that since Noah didn't give Kerem Revai, there's a fourth, Kerem Revai means the fourth, when somebody plants a vineyard, for the first 4 years he can't use the vineyard, and he didn't do that. So therefore it comes out that the fourth one, which is the fourth son, got spoiled. So that's the Chum. Well, but he learned Torah. He knew which one is clean animal, which is unclean animal. So he knew. The Rashi actually writes down that Noach learned Torah. So Noach knew. I'm going to finish by giving a blessing that we shouldn't require to have a rainbow, even though the rainbow normally means everybody looks at the rainbow so beautiful, but Gemara brings down that every time the rainbow shows, that means that there is a chance of the world to be destroyed. Just Hashem reminding us that because of His promise, it's not going to be destroyed. So Hashem should help that we shouldn't see any rainbows, and we should deserve to have long life, and Moshiach will come. Amen.